Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The Clark Art Museum is currently presenting its first outdoor exhibition on the museum's extensive and bucolic grounds in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Groundwork features site-responsive sculptural creations by six different contemporary artists placed around the Clark's 140-acre campus. Organized by the Clark under the leadership of guest curators Molly Epstein and Abigail Ross Goodman, Groundwork is free and open to the public and will be on view into October 2021. Molly Epstein and Abigail Ross Goodman met me at the Clark. As I mentioned, there are six artists featured in the exhibition. We will speak about four of them in this audio tour.
This installation is by the artist Nairi Bagramian, who lives and works in Berlin. It is a sculpture that is in two parts. It is made from marble that has been hand chiseled and sandblasted, as well as components of very highly polished stainless steel. And it sits atop of the pasture, looking down toward the museum building, gazing out from a site of repose in the landscape. The title, Knee and Elbow, nods to the artist's intention to abstract these joints in the human body, which for centuries have helped the figure stand straight and which bear the weight of the way figures move through the world in real life and the way figures in classical marble statuary have to hold these poses, putting pressure on these joints. What's remarkable about this work, in our experience of working with Bagramian, is the way that she has sensitively rendered this material, which is new to her practice. Though she has a very long-standing and rigorous sculptural practice, she had never used marble before. It's a very traditional material.
Yeah.
And so she, after her time visiting the Clark, seeing the tremendous works in the permanent collection, was curious about what would it mean to bring marble into her own practice, to use the material in a way that would hold on to her voice, to her probing questions about the human figure. And so here, the skin of the marble has been, if not violated, it's been made vulnerable. It's been made raw.
Yeah. And it's texturized in a way that looks, yeah, like you could just almost push through it.
And much to the contrast of traditional sculpture, where perfection and the idea of marble looking like the human ideal, here she's really unpacking that vulnerability of the materiality. It's been hand chiseled, it's been sandblasted, as we said. She's used two colors of the stone, two different types of marble that come from a quarry in Crocetta, Italy. That's a very storied quarry from an art historical perspective. One stone is this beautiful white, and another is this soft blush pink. And it's almost as if she's turned the human body inside out and demonstrated this sensitivity of the material. But she's also provided high contrast. So though the bulk of the surfaces are made raw and exposed, there are in between in the joints surfaces of tremendously high polish, both in the marble and in the polished stainless steel, which reflect the landscape around us. And so much is her way, this studying contrast and pushing a material to its edge is very much on display.
She also talks a lot about this interest in removing the idea of the pedestal or the plinth from the experience of contemporary sculpture. And so here, the view, the landscape, the two objects, the apertures between them become all part of a single whole, so that the experience of the work is really made consistent with its surroundings. So that was important, this idea that the object, its physical self and its site be united in this cohesive dialogue. And one of the things Nairi Bagramian, the artist who made the work, speaks a lot about is this idea, as Abby mentioned, of the pose. And if you're in the galleries of the Clark, you've seen the iconic Degas dancer standing with her arms clasped behind her back. And in a lot of the treasures of the collection, in the figurative painting, you see individuals posed in certain ways from across the centuries. But this idea that the pose, although it's fixed and static, holds within it the possibility and promise of movement. And for her, sculpture has that same promise, that same capacity, the same capability. So even though the object appears to be fixed in nature, it suggests movement and what could change. And she's also deeply influenced by history of contemporary dance, Yvonne Rainer, and other really innovative choreographers who started treating the human body in a different way. And you sense that here in these two objects where these primary joints on which we rely, but no one really gives much thought to, what would happen if you excise them from their anatomical position, place them here in the most gorgeous spot, and give them a break, give them a chance to sit down, to rest. And what does that do for a viewer, too, who might encounter them? So, you know, forcing a visitor to turn around, survey the vista below them, walk around the objects in the round, and think anew about the human body, its vulnerability, its sensitivity, and the fragility that lives within all of us.
Am I correct that there are sometimes cows right in this pasture?
Absolutely. So,
and are we anticipating they will interact with the sculpture?
You know, the cows make themselves known. It's surprising we don't actually see them today because this is usually an area that is well within their domain. But they are welcome to go where they choose. So certainly during the site visits, a number of the artists encountered them and saw them at work and at play. And we anticipate they'll be very curious about their new neighbors.
You're listening to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Guest curators Molly Epstein and Abigail Ross Goodman led me on a tour of Groundwork, an outdoor sculpture exhibition at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Clarkart.edu for more information.
So this is a three-part work by Eva LeWitt, and it's the first time she's made a sculpture for the outdoors. She's also working with new materials for the first time, and these three works are made of pieces of hand-cut PVC that the artist works with in her studio in three bright chroma colors that have been suspended in layers of resin, which have been poured to create these very totemic structures that are nearly 11 feet tall and 10 inches square. So the three of them stand here like a beacon. One can actually experience them from the base of the hill. They beckon you up from the museum buildings. But LeWitt often works with geometric forms of the sphere, the circle, and the square. They act almost as characters in her work, almost as punctuation points that begin and end a thought or a gesture. So in each of these three cases, there is a sphere that is expanding and contracting within the resin. And as it unfolds upwards, almost like a kind of snapshot flip book of a flat drawing in space becoming dimensional. The spheres grow, expand, and change. So they're pretty extraordinary from a color perspective. You have these three primary colors that are interacting with the landscape around them in a way that's highly encounterable. Mm-hmm. She talks too about perhaps the seasons functioning as the fourth sculpture. So this idea that these three objects are really in dialogue with the world around them, and that as the seasons shift and change, they will perform differently. And because they're made of resin, they're really interacting strongly with light. And as the sun moves around them each day, you know, they will manifest in a dramatically different fashion.
LeWitt has been interested in seriality as a part of her practice, and color, as Molly said, as kind of key components in the choreography of her sculptures, but also interested in the notion of weight and how material performs in and of itself. And what was so interesting as she came to this project for the first time, as Molly said, out of doors, she, in a way, took this idea of transformation, idea of seriality, and of suspending something in time and in space, actually even in the fabrication of the work, which is made by a pouring of resin in layers, which allows you also to mark time in it, the object's making itself, mm-hmm. In the landscape, really combines the performance of the color is so different from this moment here against the green, or when fresh spring green is coming out of kind of the muck of winter, and this gorgeous golden yellow and the high tone, almost cadmium red or fluoro red, and the blue will pop in different ways and really speak in a dance with the landscape. They also have different inflection points. Each one within the square has the sphere performing in different ways. One is a positive image of the sphere in the round. One is the negative image of the sphere in the round. And the central work almost is like a water droplet expanding and contracting through time as it moves through the length of the sculpture.
It's also cited in a really interesting moment of transition between the more kind of cloistered woodland trails that feel quite private and covered. And when you walk through that gate into this open meadow and look down at the museum below, it's really a moment of arrival. Mm-hmm. And when she visited, Eva really honed in on this site as a place of transition and change, and was excited to play with, you know, usually she's responding to architecture or responding to the physical attributes of an indoor gallery or museum setting. And here she's really taking the raw material of the sky, the grass, the trees, the leaves, everything that's around us in this landscape, and utilizing it in the work itself. We just took a long view of these three works, and now we're walking closer. And in each of the six projects, there is an intimacy of encounter, and there is also the anticipation of seeing something from afar and wanting to get closer to it. So there's something vast about this landscape. It can also be traversed easily on foot, but we're excited for people to come to see things from afar and want to have a more intimate engagement with the objects individually. They each really have their own site and their own space, so they can be encountered one by one. And we wanted there to be space and time for people to experience each of them individually.
There was an early sensitivity in the sighting of the works to really give each piece its own home and an environment where it could reign over its own space, create a dialogue with the environment and with individuals that was very distinct. So though in certain moments you can get the glimpse of another work in the exhibition, the idea was to really protect each artist's zone for their ideas to be manifest most individually. Sorry, that we would say is that Eva's really committed to the handmade, though she was working with a fabricator on this project. What was really essential for her was that the works still feel like they were made by an individual, and that she have a truly physical relationship to their coming into being. Mm-hmm. So she cut by hand each piece of the colored PVC that's layered within the resin, that touch of her own gesture could continue to live within the works.
The exhibition Groundwork will be on view at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts through October 17, 2021. A few weeks ago, I went to the Clark, and curators Molly Epstein and Abigail Ross Goodman told me about the sculptures.
Hold on, let me avoid this cow pie. Just alrighty, where are we now?
So we are standing in front of 620 running feet of fence line created by the artist Analia Saban, who was born in Argentina and lives and works in Los Angeles. And when Saban came to visit the Clark for the first time in May of 2018, she encountered a standard split rail fence in this location, which played a very functional role in the landscape, which was creating a boundary between the lower campus of the museum buildings and the upper campus where cows pasture 3 months of the year. And she was quite taken by the elegance of the line and also the promise of this highly recognizable everyday object that we're all familiar with, how it performs, what it's meant to do. And she decided to reimagine the split rail fence as a massive monumental line drawing in space that is also a primer in strategies of image making. So you'll see that each section actually captures a principle of perspective or of drawing. So two-point perspective, the vanishing point, the rule of thirds, and those end up repeating in this running fence line.
Which makes it the most beautiful wooden fence I've ever seen, right? Like, that's what's happening here.
It certainly catches your eye and takes something that you thought you knew well to a new place. The title of the work is actually an homage to her teacher and mentor, the conceptual artist John Baldessari, who passed away at the beginning of this year. He made an iconic video work in the early 70s titled Teaching a Plant the Alphabet. And this work is titled Teaching a Cow How to Draw. So imagining a new audience, not just the human visitors who visit the museum galleries and wander the trails of the campus, but also the cows who live here part of the year, and working to engage them in the conversation of the museum.
One of the exceptional qualities of this piece is the way that it manages to be both truly monumental and expansive and claim space, and also hold on to this remarkable subtlety and remarkable delicacy of the landscape. Like we discussed with Nairi Bagramian, who was so profoundly touched by the collection and motivated by the collection to think about the figure, Saban is thinking about the history of landscape painting. And she's thinking about all the paintings she had experienced with inside the beautiful galleries of the Clark and how those works came into being, the way artists were taught to see and taught to help others see and experience. And so she's bringing that conceptually into the landscape itself. And one of the things that Molly and I really enjoyed when we first got to stand in front of the piece in the landscape was really looking through the fence as a way of truly actualizing these concepts of how to construct an image. She is an artist who has always used materiality, innovation in material, but also the found object. And so for her too, there's a very meaningful continuation of her practice, which is largely gallery-based. She'd had one outdoor installation prior to this project, but is really a continuation of the conceptual elements of her practice writ large in the landscape. One other perhaps fun fact is that this was a work that was able to continue fabrication in the midst of the pandemic because it was fabricated by a local fence maker who is an essential worker. And so this was the first work to come into the project and to be installed. As you can see right now with these folks who are walking the length of the fence, there's an unfolding through time, and that it really, she creates a space for the journey, both from one end of the piece to the other, but it creates a gateway to the rest of the installations.
It's also something that can really be experienced from all sides. So one can see it after you park your car in the parking lot, and at first you think you know what you're looking at, and then you're asked to look again and again, heading up the hill, seeing it from the close vantage point, and again from the top of the hill from afar. Certainly never seen a fence like this before.
I love it so much.
Saban has a real sense of humor in the work. This idea of engaging the cows, the non-human animals, as much as the humans here at the Clark. And it's such a pleasure. There's such an ease to it. And at the same time, especially too, as the fence starts to weather, which was always intended, there's also this incredible elegance. So it's a study in contrast.
Guest curators Molly Epstein and Abigail Ross Goodman showed me around groundwork at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts a few weeks ago. Two things before we continue. One, there is a siren in the background of this next part, so if you're listening in your car, check for an emergency vehicle around you, but it's likely just in the recording. And two, when they say they're going to install this final piece, the work by this final artist, that was in the past, it is installed now.
So the exhibition includes 6 participating artists, and 5 of the works are on view. But next week we'll have the pleasure of installing 3 sculptures by Haegu Yang, born in Seoul, South Korea, who lives between Seoul and Berlin, Germany. And the project is titled Migratory DMZ Birds on Asymmetric Lens. And Yang, who was born in Seoul, South Korea, has made a number of works in recent years inspired by a historic event that took place in April of 2018 called the Inter-Korean Summit, where leaders of North and South Korea met, rendezvoused, in a place called the Demilitarized Zone, or the DMZ, which is a strip, ironically, perhaps the most militarized place on the planet, not exactly devoid of military presence, but a neutral area between North and South Korea. And there was a moment in this historic meeting, which was being broadcast around the world and watched with great interest, that the two leaders stepped aside for privacy, sat on a bridge, and spoke. And the press, present in droves, could only capture on their recording devices the sound of birdsong and the click of camera shutters. So this incredibly momentous moment in the history of these two nations, formerly a single country, was out of reach for the general public. And in this project, it's the first time that Yang is taking this audio recording of birds and pushing it into three dimensions. So she's actually printed, 3D printed in resin, forms of three of the bird species captured on the recording. And those birds will migrate here to Williamstown to an exotic and foreign location and landscape where they would never be able to travel in reality. Really, the conceptual underpinning of the project is this idea that the natural world and nature is ignorant to and indifferent to civilizational activities. That history, that politics, that culture, that ideas around identity are fabrications, and that in actuality, the natural world will perform as it will regardless of what's going on in its midst. And the project will include natural materials. The birds sit atop stone pedestals and synthetic materials, so they have an incredible hybridity. And Yang is really interested in political ecology and how our natural world and the cultural one that human societies have created interplay.
One of the things that will distinguish this installation by Yang and the exhibition and sets it aside from the others is that her work will live in three different sites in the landscape. This dispersion of her sculptures was critical at a conceptual level for Yang, who engages so richly with the ideas of the diaspora, of transition and moving, and of the sense of arrivals and departures. Though she has ironically been in Korea for the length of the pandemic, she's an artist whose practice has long centered on a kind of peripatetic traveling and always being on the move, always being slightly out of her comfort zone and feeling the sensation of new places, new ideas, new people, and then coalescing that unfamiliarity in her work. And so she's inviting the viewers to similarly experience her work in a kind of journey in different sites, in different locations, with different feelings, and echoing, you know, this relationship between these birds, which have migrated somewhat impossibly here to the Clark's landscape, mm-hmm. to allow the viewers to think about what these moments of transition and journey are also like for themselves.
I think all of these artists are really pushing up against the idea of the monolith in public sculpture and instead taking a more nuanced approach to what one can do in three dimensions in a landscape. And so these bird baths, which will be situated, as Abby said, at three distinct sites throughout the 140-acre campus, the idea is that the local avian population can encounter these imaginary friends, if you will, can perch atop them, can actually take a bath in the depression when rainwater collects mm-hmm. there, and that this imagined encounter creates possibility and positivity when so much is scattered and broken apart. Haegyu Yang talks about this desire to scatter the narrative, because if a visitor is asked to collect experiences, there is the promise of future resolution and a coming together. So that is inherent in the project dispersed across the three sites, and we hope in the experience of the entire exhibition.
Speaking of joining together for positive experiences, you guys, thank you so much for your time and expertise today. This has been magnificent.
We've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for having us, Sarah. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Groundwork, the Clark's first outdoor exhibition, is scheduled to be on view until October 17th, 2021. Our guests and tour guides have been curators Molly Epstein and Abigail Ross Goodman. To learn more, visit clarkart.edu. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.